we'll just go right into Srila Prabhupada's purport on this particular bhajan. Much more. It explains everything in terms of the translation also. So purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a song sung by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means lords, and Dvijana means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nityananda Gaurachandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful, Parama Karuna, Saba Avatar Sada Siramani. Avatar means incarnation, and Saba means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, Kevala Ananda Kanda, for they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations, such as Lord Rama and even Krishna, who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful, simply chanting and dancing. Therefore, Lord Chandas requests everyone, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brothers, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Vishvasya Kori. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Chariya Se Rase Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Muke Bolo Hari Hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari, without any motive of sense gratification. Deka Ore Bai, Tribhuvane Nai. Lord Chandas Thakur says, my dear brothers, you just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join, even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pasana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lord Chandas Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, quote, my dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. What can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Lord Chandas Thakur ki jai. What a wonderful song. And yes. Sure. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was on the Vyasa San in Atlanta, Georgia, and he sang this particular song. And from that point on in Atlanta, maybe even today, they're still continuing. They would sing this song every day. And it was pretty ecstatic. It was a wonderful, heartfelt. And of course, because Srila Prabhupada became so absorbed and emotional about this song, it became a real important aspect of the morning program for Atlanta Temple. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Right, I thought I'd read a little something today from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first portion of the Bhagavatam here, the introduction. Very nice introduction by Srila Prabhupada. It's about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in essence. Very ecstatic. So I'll try to read as long as my voice holds out. I don't know how long that'll be. The kirtan was just too ecstatic this morning. you can see that the potency of the Maha Mantra, even it makes old men dance, makes you move your feet. Even you don't want to move your feet, it makes you move your feet. So when Lochan Das Thakur is singing this particular song, immediately we can relate to it in terms of what it does to you. It actually makes you feel youthful and you want to just sing and dance. And the Krishna Conscious Movement is based on that principle, really. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared in this month of Falguna. Prabhupada said the month of Falguna means from February like 14th to March 14th, that one month, Falguna. And Lord Chaitanya appeared in this month. He especially appeared to entice the conditioned souls to go back home, back to Godhead. Because he was Channa, he was a hidden incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He was Channa Kalau. He was hidden. He's not like Lord Narsingadev, as Prabhupada said, or Lord Krishna, Lord Vamanadev. He came as a devotee. And he appeared, it's like Tita, the occasion. It means like a special, he came special to deliver the conditioned souls, the fallen souls. Because when Krishna comes, when he incarnates as Lord Narsingadev, there's no question you're going to surrender. Otherwise, you're finished. And we know that even Lord Krishna came. And he demanded, Sarva Dharmam Pratitya Mamikam Saranam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevya Moksha Yishami Masucha Hat. Krishna ordered, if you want to associate with me, you have to fully surrender. And we see Krishna in the battlefield, Kurukshetra, there talking to Arjuna. And he told him, you have to surrender. Krishna took the position of the supreme controller. Rightfully so. That is what Krishna is. He's God. He's Krishna, the supreme controller. And he has that right. But you can see in Kali Yuga, we're so fallen. Our disease is that we don't want to take any instruction from anyone. No one. This is our disease in Kali Yuga. Krishna, he orders. Even Krishna, like for instance, if you as a devotee or me, or if we went outside and we approached, we said, Sarva Dharmam Paritya Jama Mekam Saranam Vaja. Who would be attracted to Krishna consciousness? Practically no one. It would be too intense. It would be too much. Practically, barely can a wife order the husband, or the husband order the wife. Every now and then it happens. But if it was continuous, sooner or later, the husband or the wife would say, look, who do you think you are? Who are you that you're ordering me? So even husband and wife, who are supposed to be a very good relationship, even between father and son, and mother and daughter, if there's too much ordering, what happens? You run away. If you had a father that was too much ordering, you couldn't wait till your 17th birthday or 18th birthday to get out of the house. Isn't that right? So this is our disease. This is Kali Yuga. And our disease is that we don't want to take any instruction. But Krishna, he's the supreme controller. He has the right to do this. That's his position as God. But this is what is so magnanimous about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His magnanimous nature is such that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-different. But he was very expert in getting those of us in Kali Yuga to surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness. That's why he came. Because normally people can't surrender to Krishna consciousness. They can't. How many of you here in this room here thought that when you met a devotee, oh yeah, right, I want to be a Hare Krishna? If you were that person, then you're very rare. You're unusual. And maybe you need an examination. But point being is, that's not what we wanted. We didn't come here with that intention at all. We were tricked. Each and every one of us in this room were tricked. Somehow or other, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to teach us how to surrender to Lord Krishna. That's why he came as a devotee, to teach us how we should be. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his whole process was about submission. Just like Krishna wants you to be submissive. As a temple president, I would want you to be submissive. This is natural. The husband wants the wife to be submissive. And vice versa, the wife would like to have the husband to be submissive. So this is the whole nature of the creation, submission. This is what it's all about. So we have to submit to someone. You have to submit to your family members, to your country, to your job, you know, to your senses. We have to submit. There's no question. But Lord Chaitanya was so precise. He taught us how to be submissive to serve Krishna. And he tricked us, and he did it by the chanting of the holy name. This is why he came. Lord Chaitanya came to trick us by the process of kirtan. By kirtan. This is how you were tricked. If you wonder, what was it? Prasadam had something to do with it. It kept you here. It kept you chanting. So we don't want to, you know, exclude that. But really, what tricked you was the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I recall George Harrison, when he came out with that, My Sweet Lord, that we would sometimes be driving down the street in our car with my friends, you know, going like 90 miles an hour. And when this song came on, we'd stick our heads out the window and we would chant Hare Krishna. We have no idea what we were doing. We had no inkling what it meant, what it was about, who it was. We thought it was cool. So we were tricked to chant Hare Krishna. We thought it was cool. And we were just, you know, we were the pasu. Thomas, the pasu means an animal. And we were animals. So when Lord Chaitanya went to the forest of Jarikanda, when he says the animals chanted, yes, they chanted. And we were like two-legged animals. They're four-legged, but we were two-legged animals. Because all we were interested in is in sensing gratification. That's all we were interested in, just to enjoy. They're no different than an animal. And we're so dedicated to our senses. You know, we're so... I'm 60 years now gratifying my senses, surrendering to them. When they demand, eat four cupcakes, I ate them. I had to eat them because it demanded. My tongue demanded me to eat four of them. So I surrendered. You know, and after 60 years, have any of my senses become satisfied? Not one of them. There isn't a sense of my body that been satisfied. I was such a loyal servant to them. Literally. A loyal servant to my ears. A loyal servant to my tongue. Loyal servant to my belly, my genital, everything. Completely sold out to it. Everything. And after 60 years, what do I got to show for it? Nothing. They're still raging. No change. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us, you know, stop doing this. You know, stop surrendering to your senses and catering to those senses and working like an ass every day for your senses. This is what it is. This is the material world. They work like a donkey for their senses. They're so dedicated to their senses. And what do they got to show for it? Nothing. And Lochan Das Thakur, he's also petitioning the same way. You know, why? Why are you doing this? You know, why are you surrendering to this process when we could simply hear and chant? And you know, when you chant Hare Krishna, it's not like you don't do anything. It's not like an impersonalist or Buddhist. Buddhists, they want to like become nirvana. They want to just kind of like have their senses become dull and be happy in nirvana. Or the impersonalists, they want to merge into the Brahman. But they can't be happy because they want something. The Buddhist, he wants something. The impersonalist, he wants something. And because they want something, they're never satisfied. Just like a karmi, they always want something. They're never happy. No matter how much you give them, they're never happy. They want more. So how can you be happy? This is not satisfaction or happiness. You're hankering and lamenting. The Buddhist is hankering and lamenting if he can't achieve nirvana. The impersonalist becomes depressed when he cannot merge into the existence of the Brahman. They're dissatisfied. And so they hanker. But Bhakta doesn't want anything but to serve Krishna. He wants to fully use the senses. The Bhakta wants to eat 4 cupcakes. It's Krishna Prasadam. He'll suffer a little bit later, but that's okay. That's, you know. But this is the process, to use your senses fully in Krishna consciousness. This is a personal movement. This is interaction between devotees and the Supreme Lord. This is Krishna consciousness. And this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. And great souls, Mahabhagavats like Srila Prabhupada, gave us a practical application. You know, he gave us the manual. You know, sometimes you can get some kind of instrument. If there's no manual with it, you know, how do you run it? You don't know. And so you can see the disease of Kali Yuga. We buy something, we throw the manual in the garbage, and then we try to figure it out ourselves. This is what we do. You get some complicated instrument. If you get a new phone, you know, we're so arrogant, we'll just throw the thing, manual in the garbage and just try to and tinker with it till we figure it out. This is Kali Yuga disease. We've been given the manual how to go back home, back to Godhead, but we're so arrogant. This is our disease. It's like if you have a disease, you know, you have to, you know, change your diet, you have to take a medication, whatever. So this is the medication for Kali Yuga, kirtan. This is the medication. And of course, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach us this as a devotee. And this is why he's considered to be the most magnanimous. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo Jasvena Maha. He's the most magnanimous incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He gave us an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. And not even knowing, we had no desire. We, you know, how many before you met the devotees wanted to go back to heaven? Yeah, because we didn't know about Goloka Vrindavan. But we heard about heaven. Did anybody here really give a hoot if you're going to go to heaven? No. In fact, as conditioned souls in the material world, I think I got a little bit more out of reading something about the devil than I did about God. Because I thought the devil was enjoying more. you know, just crazy stuff. You wanted, even in society today, isn't there a group of young kids these days who they paint their nails black and they wear black? What are they?
Gothic.
What is it called?
Gothic.
The Gothic. Yeah, the Gothic look. Why the Gothic look? You know, like vampire or something. You live eternally in sense gratification. That's what they want. They want to live eternally in the body and just enjoy. But there is no such thing. This is all phantasmagoria. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to dispel this phantasmagoria. He came here to give us knowledge, this light. But there is some importance to what we have to do to know this. You cannot know the Supreme Lord by your material senses. You can't. It's not possible. But he did give us something before he left. He told us, Tanadapi Sunichina, Tororapi Vishnuna, Amaninena Kirtaniya Siddhahari. He taught us that if we want to chant the holy name of the Lord properly, we have to do this in the humble state of mind. This is extremely important. If we don't, then we can't really understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Tanarapi sunichena. One has to feel himself lower than the grass in the street. You have to feel very humble. And this is what submission is about. Submission means that you feel humble, not that you become just some little, you know, nothing. This is not what submission means. Submission means that you understand what it takes in order to become Krishna conscious. That you follow the instruction of the authority, the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord. Tororapi sahishnuna. This is also very important because if we're not tolerant, then we cannot understand. So not only should we become submissive and humble, but we should also become tolerant. Tolerant like the tree. Prabhupada says that a tree, it bears fruit and it gives shade. It protects you from the elements. But in return, the tree asks nothing. You never, if you go under a tree, you don't hear a voice. If you do, you might talk to somebody, but you know, if you go under a tree and you hear something like, hey, get out of here. You know, you don't hear anything from the tree. So a tree is a perfect example that gives all kinds of protection, but doesn't, you know, ask anything. So we have to be like this when we're chanting the holy name. Amanina manadena. One should not demand or require respect for himself. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't require it. Like, I mean, do you know who I am? I mean, don't you understand? You know, they had a T-shirt, reminded me of a T-shirt. What part of no don't you understand? Anyway, just kind of a thought came to my mind. But anyway, the idea is we shouldn't demand this respect and want it. And it states, Lord Chaitanya says that if we can follow these principles, then we can properly chant the holy name of the Lord. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. Then we can properly chant. And this is the way that you understand who Krishna is. And you understand the science of Krishna consciousness only by this process. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's not part of the program. It's not part of the process. So this is how Lord Chaitanya is forcing us. He's forcing us. Just like Krishna is demanding, you must surrender. Lord Chaitanya also is saying you must, but he does it in a really hidden way. He does it in a very amazing way. He says, just chant, and you chant, you feel happy. But then once you get addicted to chanting, then he says, you know, well, if you really want to get to know me, then okay, you got to be submissive. And as you join Krishna consciousness, you find that out. When you join, you really everything's really happy. Then after a while, the bhakti leader kind of gives it to you. He says, Prabhu, you're not submissive enough. And you go, what? What do you mean? I'm submissive. But he says, no, you're not submissive enough. So Lord Chaitanya is also like that. He said, be submissive. And you go, okay, everything's nice. It's beautiful. But then he comes out with this. And he says, well, if you really want to be happy, if you really want to be Krishna conscious, if you want to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is what you have to do. So he's also demanding, but in a very wonderful way. Because we're mixed up. We think that happiness is through sense gratification. This is what material life is about. Material happiness means sense gratification. But there's nothing to that. That is just a phantasmagoria. What's that verse? He's from Sparsaja Boga. Dukaya yonaya iv. Yantavanta kuntaya ramate nate something, I can't remember. But it's described in there that a person who wants to become freed from this, the intelligent person doesn't take part in the activities of material sense gratification. Because these are sources of misery due to contact with the bodily senses. And then it says, O son of Kunti, such a person, O son of Kunti, the wise man, does not take part in these sources of misery, and neither does he delight in them. So this is what it means to be an intelligent person, that we don't become involved in these sources of misery. And this is what's so wonderful about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his mercy. And we see, we get this from Srila Prabhupada, the Acharya of ISKCON. We're covered. All of us are completely covered. And until and unless we become pure devotees of the Lord, we won't understand this point. Prabhupada gives the example of like gloves. If you put a pair of gloves on and then you try to eat with your gloves, you can't feel it. You have no sense of feel. So because your hand is covered with a glove. But if you take the glove off and then you touch, you feel. It's a sensation. So we are now like that. We're covered by this body and the senses. So we have to rise above. Atindriyam sukham. Super senses. This is super happiness. Atindriya sukham. This is like beyond any scope of happiness that one can achieve in the material world. And this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the chanting of the holy name. You can become super happy. So this is why a devotee, when they're purified, they're super happy. They're very happy. Life is good. But life doesn't mean that you don't have suffering and pains and pleasures. It doesn't mean that you don't have, but you're not affected by them. It doesn't stop you from your execution of Krishna consciousness. You have a body. It's going to break down. It's going to get sick. You're going to overeat. You're going to be stressed. Point being, though, is that if we simply push on in Krishna consciousness and continue our activities and execute devotional service, there will come a time when all these situations will mean nothing. Happiness or distress. It won't mean anything. You'll be properly situated. So this is what is available in Krishna consciousness. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm just going to read not very much. because I know I did a lot of talking, but read a little bit in terms of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. We don't have breakfast today anyway, so maybe I'll read like for 20 minutes or so. I don't like that. But okay?
Yeah.
Just a little something. This is a short sketch of the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam, his first canto Bhagavatam. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great apostle of love of God and the father of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, advented himself in Sridham Mayapur, a quarter in the city of Navadvip in Bengal, on the Falguni Purnima evening in the year 1407, Sagabda, 1486 by the Christian calendar. His father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, a learned Brahmana from the district of Sylhet, came to Navadvip as a student because at that time Navadvip was considered to be the center of education and culture. He domiciled on the banks of the Ganges after marrying Srimati Sachidevi, a daughter of Srila Nilambar Chakravarti, the great learned scholar of Navadvip. Jagannath Mishra had a number of daughters by his wife Srimati Sachidevi, and most of them expired at an early age. Two surviving sons, Sri Vishwarup and Vishvambar, became at last the object of their parental affection. The tenth and youngest son, who was named Vishvambar, later became known as Nimai Pandit, and then, after accepting the renounced order of life, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his transcendental activities for 48 years and then disappeared in the year 1455 Sukhabda at Puri. For his first 24 years, he remained at Navadvip as a student and householder. His first wife was Srimati Lakshmi Priya, who died at an early age when the Lord was away from home. When he returned from East Bengal, he was requested by his mother to accept a second wife, and he agreed. His second wife was Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi, who bore the separation of the Lord throughout her life because the Lord took the order of sannyas at the age of 24, when Srimati Vishnu Priya was barely 16 years old. After taking sannyas, the Lord made his headquarters at Jagannath Puri due to the request of his mother, Srimati Sachidevi. The Lord remained for 24 years at Puri. For 6 years of this time, he traveled continuously all over India, and especially throughout southern India, preaching the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya not only preached the Srimad Bhagavatam, but propagated the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita as well in the most practical way. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna is depicted as the Absolute Personality of Godhead, and his last teaching in that great book of transcendental knowledge instructs that one should give up all the modes of religious activities and accept him, Lord Sri Krishna, as the only worshipable Lord. The Lord then assured that all his devotees would be protected from all sorts of sinful acts, and that for them there would be no cause for anxiety. Unfortunately, despite Lord Sri Krishna's direct order and the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, less intelligent people misunderstood him to be nothing but a great historical personality, and thus they cannot accept him as the original personality of Godhead. Such men with a poor fund of knowledge are misled by many non-devotees. Thus, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita were misinterpreted even by great scholars. After the disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna, there were hundreds of commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita by many erudite scholars, and almost every one of them was motivated by self-interest. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the self-same Lord Sri Krishna. This time, however, he appeared as a great devotee of the Lord in order to preach to the people in general, as well as to religionists and philosophers, about the transcendental position of Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord, and the cause of all causes. The essence of his preaching is that Lord Sri Krishna, who appeared at Rajabhumi, Vrindavan, as the son of King of Raja, Nanda Maharaj, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is therefore worshipable by all. Vrindavan Dham is non-different from the Lord because the name, fame, form, and place where the Lord manifests himself are all identical with the Lord as absolute knowledge. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is as worshipable as the Lord. The highest form of transcendental worship of the Lord was exhibited
by the damsels of Rajabhumi in the form of pure affection for the Lord, then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends this process as the most excellent mode of worship. He accepts the Srimad Bhagavat Purana as the spotless literature for understanding the Lord, and he preaches that the ultimate goal of life for all human beings is to attain the stage of prema, or love of God. So it's a little caption there. I'll read a little something here. In the Lord's early life was recorded by one of his chief devotees and contemporaries namely Srila Murari Gupta, a medical practitioner of that time. And the latter part of the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was recorded by his private secretary, Sri Damodar Goswami, or Srila Swarup Damodar, who was practically a constant companion of the Lord at Puri. These two devotees recorded practically all the incidents of the Lord's activities, and later on, all the books dealing with the Lord, which are above mentioned, were composed on the basis of kadachas, or notebooks, by Srila Damodar Goswami and Murari Gupta. So the Lord advented himself from Falguna Purnima, evening of 1407, Sukabda, and it was by the will of the Lord that there was a lunar eclipse on that evening. During the hours of eclipse, it was a custom of the Hindu public to take bath in the Ganges or any other sacred river and chant the Vedic mantras for purification. When Lord Chaitanya was born, during the lunar eclipse, all India was roaring with the holy sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These 16 names of the Lord are mentioned in many Puranas and Upanishads, and they are described as Taraka Brahma Nam of this age. It is recommended in the Shastras that offenseless chanting of these holy names of the Lord can deliver a fallen soul from material bondage. There are innumerable names of the Lord, both in India and outside, and all of them are equally good because all of them indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because these 16 names, excuse me, but because these 16 are especially recommended for this age, people should take advantage of them and follow the path of the great acharyas who attain success by practicing the rules of the shastras or revealed scriptures. The simultaneous occurrence of the Lord's appearance and the lunar eclipse indicated the distinctive mission of the Lord. This mission was to preach the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord in this age of Kali. In this present age, quarrels take place even over trifles, and therefore the Shastras have recommended for this age a common platform for realization, namely chanting the holy names of the Lord. People can hold meetings to glorify the Lord in their respective languages and with melodious songs, and if such performances are executed in an offenseless manner, it is certain that the participants will gradually attain spiritual perfection without having to undergo more rigorous methods. At such meetings, everyone, the learned and the foolish, the rich and the poor, the Hindus and the Muslims, the Englishmen and the Indians, and the Chandalas and the Brahmanas, can all hear the transcendental sounds and thus cleanse the dust of material association from the mirror of the heart. To confirm the Lord's mission, all the people of the world will accept the holy name of the Lord as a common platform for the universal religion of mankind. In other words, the advent of the holy name took place along with the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. You can just take a look in this room. Look by somebody next to you. You can see how true that is. You just look around. It's amazing how this prediction is not something just whimsical, but it is the truth that by the process of this chanting, so many people come together and find a common ground. I'm going to skip a little bit more and read a few more pages. I'll try to make this as painless as possible. All right, this is a pastime. The Lord, after hearing the Bhattacharya, thanked him for the scholarly presentation of the shloka. And then at the request of the Bhattacharya, the Lord explained the shloka in 64 different ways, without touching the 9 explanations given by the Bhattacharya. Thus, after hearing the explanation of the Atmarama Shloka from the Lord, the Bhattacharya was convinced that such a scholarly presentation is impossible for an earthly creature. Before this, Sri Gopinathacharya had tried to convince him of the divinity of the Lord, but at the time he could not so accept him. But the Bhattacharya was astounded by the Lord's exposition of the Vedanta Sutra and explanations of the Atmarama Shloka, and thus he began to think that he had committed a great offense at the lotus feet of the Lord by not recognizing him to be Krishna himself. He then surrendered unto him, repenting for his past dealings with him, and the Lord was kind enough to accept the Bhattacharya. Out of his causeless mercy, the Lord manifested before him first as four-handed Narayan, and then again as two-handed Lord Krishna with a flute in his hand. The Bhattacharya once fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord and composed many suitable shlokas in praise of the Lord by his grace. He composed almost 100 shlokas in praise of the Lord. The Lord then embraced him, and out of transcendental ecstasy, the Bhattacharya lost consciousness of the physical state of life. Tears, trembling, throbbing of the heart, perspiration, emotional waves, dancing, singing, crying, and all the 8 symptoms of trance were manifested in the body of the Bhattacharya. Sri Gopinathacharya became very glad and astonished by this marvelous conversion of his brother-in-law by the grace of the Lord. This is very important because the Bhattacharya at that time was one of the greatest composers of verses. He was a great debater, right? He was a great debater. And he would go around debating anyone that wished. And here with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think this time he was like 16 years old. And he defeated this Bhattacharya. He made a 100 shlokas. He compiled 100 shlokas on the Ganga. And not only did Lord Chaitanya memorize each shloka within the recitation of it, then he pointed out so many faults with it. So the importance here is that Lord Chaitanya, the individuals that actually surrendered to him were very knowledgeable, scientific, intellectual people. So this Krishna conscious movement is meant for all walks of life. Not only the depressed and the forgotten, but also for the intelligentsia. And this is what Prabhupada wanted. He actually wanted us to be able to accomplish this. He wanted the intelligentsia of society to hear and to take up Krishna consciousness. This was his desire. Skipping around. On the principles of the renounced order of life and discipline, the Lord knew no compromise. And therefore, even though he knew that the king was a great devotee, this was King Prataparudra, who wanted to see the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He refused to see the king only because the king was a dollar and cent man. By this example, the Lord wanted to emphasize the proper behavior for a transcendentalist. A transcendentalist has nothing to do with women and money. He must always refrain from such intimate relations. The king was, however, favored by the Lord by the expert arrangement of the devotees. This means that the beloved devotee of the Lord can favor a neophyte more liberally than the Lord. Pure devotees, therefore, never commit an offense at the feet of another pure devotee. An offense at the lotus feet of the Lord is sometimes excused by the merciful Lord. But an offense at the feet of a devotee is very dangerous for one who actually wants to make progress in devotional service. As long as the Lord remained at Puri, thousands of his devotees used to come to see him during the Rath Yatra Car Festival of the Lord, Jagannath. And during the Car Festival, the washing of the Gundicha temple under direct supervision of the Lord was an important function. The Lord's congregational Sankirtan movement at Puri was a unique exhibition for the mass of people. That is the way to turn the mass mind towards spiritual realization. The Lord inaugurated this system of mass Sankirtan And leaders of all countries can take advantage of this spiritual movement in order to keep the mass of people in a pure state of peace and friendship with one another. This is now the demand of the present human society all over the world. So this was Lord Chaitanya's desire to bring all the people together in mass by the chanting of the holy name. And you can see why Srila Prabhupada so strongly wanted us to go out on Harinam and chant the holy names in order to let people hear this chanting. And in that way, they would become attracted to Krishna consciousness. So we'll finish up here, just one little more, couple pages. As long as the desire to enjoy sensually, or to become one with the Supreme, or to possess the mystic powers, there's no question of attaining the stage of pure devotional service. Devotional service is conducted under two categories, namely primary practice and spontaneous emotion. When one can rise to the platform of spontaneous emotion, he can make further progress by spiritual attachment, feeling, love, and many higher stages of devotional life for which there are no English words. We have tried to explain the science of devotional service in our book, The Nectar of Devotion, based on the authority of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. Transcendental devotional service has five stages of reciprocation. One, the self-realization stage just after liberation from material bondage is called the shanta or neutral stage. Two, after that, when there is development of transcendental knowledge of the Lord's internal opulences, the devotee engages himself in the dasya stage. Three, by further development of the dasya stage, a respectful fraternity with the Lord develops, and above that, a feeling of friendship on equal terms becomes manifest. Both these stages are called the shakya stage, or devotional service and friendship. Four, above this is a stage of parental affection toward the Lord, and this is called the vatsalya stage. Five, and above this is a stage of conjugal love, and this stage is called the highest stage of love of God. Although there is no difference in quality in any of the above stages, the last stage of conjugal love of God is called the madhurya stage. Thus, he instructed Rupa Goswami in devotional science and deputed him to Vrindavan to excavate the lost sites of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. After this, the Lord returned to Varanasi and delivered the sannyasis and instructed the elder brother of Rupa Goswami. We have already discussed this. The Lord left only 8 shlokas of his instructions in writing, and they are known as the Shishastaka. All other literatures of his divine cult were written extensively written by the Lord's principal followers, the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan and their followers. The cult of Chaitanya philosophy is richer than any other, and it is admitted to be the living religion of the day with the potency for spreading as Vishvadharma or universal religion. We are glad that the matter has been taken up by some enthusiastic sages like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj and his disciples. We shall eagerly wait for the happy days of Bhagavad Dharma or Prem Dharma inaugurated by the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So, if we can, I'd like to just read the 8 Shishastaka prayers and then just a little bit from this Chaitanya Mangala and how Rukmini has something to do with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, is that okay? I'll take about 10 minutes and we'll be finished. Okay, the 8 shlokas. 1. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, a repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. O my Lord, 2. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by chanting your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. 3. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. 4. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. 5. O Son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of your lotus feet. 6. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? 7. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. 8. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly in his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Wow. Okay, so we'll just read something here that Bhagavad Kripa gave me, which is kind of cool. This is from the Chaitanya Mangala by Lord Chandas Thakur. It's a few pages. I'll just start with the power of Radharani's love. Rukmini Devi continued, "My dear Lord, you control everyone in the three worlds. No one can control you. Now please listen. I'm going to tell you something from the bottom of my heart. Whoever has intense attachment to serving your lotus feet will definitely taste transcendental ecstasy. Because I am completely devoted and surrendered to you, I can experience the ecstasy of worshipping your lotus feet. You, however, are the Supreme Lord, so how can you understand this ecstasy? Besides me, only Srimati Radharani knows how to relish the mellows of love and taste the higher transcendental pleasure. Although devotees discuss these topics throughout the day and night, they are always amazed by the unique quality of Radharani's pure love for you. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the demigoddesses are all eager to serve your lotus feet. By receiving the nectar of your lotus feet, they all attain spontaneous devotional service. Kamala, the goddess of fortune, who always lies on your bed, enjoying your kisses and loving embraces, always desires to attain your lotus feet. Who can estimate the unlimited glories of your lotus feet? Even after enjoying so much happiness, the goddess of fortune longs for the mercy achieved by serving your lotus feet. Only Radharani, who enjoyed with you in Vrindavan, can understand this completely. No one can compare with Radharani. It mystifies me how Radharani binds you so completely with her transcendental qualities. Even today, your heart pines for her, and tears pour from your eyes whenever you chant the name of Radha. Just see the power of Radha's pure love. Now, I'm ecstatic to have your lotus feet in my house. Fearing our inevitable separation, I can't help but cry. The taste of serving your lotus feet overpowers my attraction to you. In transcendental love, your devotees always hanker for your lotus feet, meditate upon you, and absorb themselves in your pastimes. You are the only shelter of the pure devotees. Lakshmi Devi always serves your lotus feet with a desire to love you. Although you are her lord and master, you fail to reciprocate with her desire and give pain to her heart. Whoever wants to taste an unlimited supply of nectar will find it by serving your lotus feet. Lakshmi and Saraswati think themselves most fortunate to have surrendered at your feet, even if you neglect them. Whoever tastes the ecstasy of your love considers four kinds of liberation and even residence on Vaikuntha to be most insignificant. It is a quality of your lotus feet that they manifest pure ecstatic love of God and those who serve them. With folded hands, I pray to you, my dear Lord, Your feet are sweeter than lotus nectar. Please give me this benediction. May I become a honeybee forever attached to your lotus feet. Fearing separation from you, my heart trembles in lamentation. Grant me the boon that you'll never leave my home. In reality, this was not a prayer of Rukmini Devi, but rather an outburst of love, gushing from her heart of pure devotion. Thus I, Lochan Das, sing the nectarian glories of the Lord. Murari Gupta continued narrating the story to Damodar Pandit. Murari said, after hearing Rukmini Devi's wonderful words, Krishna's heart danced in ecstasy. His lotus eyes, reddish like the rising sun, filled with tears of compassion. Sitting on his throne, Lord Krishna gently placed Rukmini on his lap and consoled her. He held Rukmini's chin with his right hand and lovingly looked at her. Waves of nectar overflowed from the ocean of prema within their hearts. Lord Krishna said to Rukmini, O my beloved, I have never heard such an amazing and wonderful description. Until today, no one has ever suggested to me that I should personally taste the love that my pure devotees have for me. Suddenly, just at that moment, the great sage Narada Muni arrived in Dwarka. His heart was full of anxiety and he appeared disturbed. Rukmini Devi stood up respectfully and welcomed the sage with sweet words. Krishna offered an asana to Narada, bathed his feet, and then affectionately embraced him. In a happy mood, the Lord inquired about Narada's well-being. Narada's eyes were reddish and brimming with tears of divine love. His voice was choked up and his body was shaking. Narada was so overwhelmed from seeing Krishna that all he could do was cry. Though trying repeatedly, Narada couldn't speak due to the effect of transcendental ecstasy. Lord Krishna said to Narada Muni, O great sage, please tell us clearly, why are you so unhappy and disturbed? You are dear to me than my own life. I know also that I am your very life and soul. It devastates me to see you in such a condition. Narada Muni replied, my dear Lord, what shall I say? You are the Lord of everything that exists. You are the super soul in all living entities. Singing your holy names and qualities is my nectarian foodstuff. Enchanted by your transcendental qualities, I traverse the unlimited universes, preaching your glories. However, when I can't hear your names being chanted, and when I see the conditioned souls intoxicated by pride, absorbed in materialistic activities, and devoid of Krishna consciousness, it gives me great pain. I don't see any means of deliverance for these people. Therefore, my mind is always disturbed thinking about this. I have now revealed to you whatever sorrows I had in my mind. In your presence, by the mercy of your lotus feet, I feel greatly relieved. Hearing the words of Narada, Lord Krishna smiled compassionately and said, listen, great sage, somehow you have forgotten about a previous event. Narada, don't you remember the time you gave my Mahaprasad remnants to Lord Shiva? After Parvati Devi ate some, she promised to distribute my Mahaprasad to all living entities. Lord Krishna continued, listen, Narada, I just heard a wonderful description from Rukmini. As a result of that, I want to promise you, Narada, that in the age of Kali, I will manifest a form filled with humility. Srimati Rukmini Devi Ki Jai. I shall become a devotee of myself in order to taste the happiness relished by my pure devotees. Not only will I experience the bliss of prema bhakti, but I will give it out to everyone in the world. Although I am the Supreme Lord, I will appear as my own devotee in the association of other devotees. I will freely distribute my love by performing Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of my holy names. I will appear in the transcendental board of Navadvip in Sridhar Mayapur within the home of Sachimata. Wow. So here we have Rukmini Dwarkadish. So we get to get the mercy of their lordships. And Rukmini had a lot to do with the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to make any comment? Or did I wear everybody out? All right. Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Rukmini Dwakadisha ki jai.